guys doing okay today? Anybody awake today? All right. We have Thanksgiving coming up this week. Is anybody grateful for anything? Grateful, thankful? You guys are going to be a rough crowd today, but I'm up for it. I'm up for it. No, good. We're going to talk about, well, let me do number one is a thank you from Cameron for you guys blessing him. And last week was his last, the team's last worship set this year. So he goes, it's fun to end up with you guys. And he's more grateful for you than you realize, because you blessed him in beginning days when things were really tough. And things are a little bit better for their ministry now, and they're growing and doing some amazing things. And so he just said, please tell your church grateful. And he calls it his Indiana family. And when you're from the hills of West Virginia and you've never been anywhere, and you cross the Ohio River and it's flat, it just amazes people. They've never seen it like that before. So he's got family in the flatlands. Now, but for real, he said, tell you especially thank you. And then on the 14th, we will get this in the bulletin and all like that. We're going to do a baptism. We've not baptized for a little while and have some people that are ready for baptism. And so we're going to do baptism on the 14th. I'll talk about it a little bit today and probably in the days ahead some. Pastoral moment. So we're headed into Thanksgiving. Molly and I have been talking about this a little bit, and her encouragement said, just say something to church too. Do you know there's such a thing as grateful grieving? Is you can be sad and grateful to God at the same time. And especially around holidays, if you have lost people that you love, it's every holiday brings back memories, and the memories are good, sad, simultaneously. And so the hope that we have in Christ says, can say, I'm glad I had you when I had you. And I have hope in Christ that I'll see you again. And so my heart's heavy with the hurt, but I take that hurt and I hand it to God. And Ron read a psalm that a portion of the psalm is like one third of the psalms. One third of the psalms are sad. Anybody ever read the Psalms? And you'll read them and you'll go, I was pretty good till I read this Psalm. Now I'm a little bit depressed. What in the world's going on there? No, it's something that's called lament. And I've learned it over the last couple of years. I've had to practice in a different way than I have before. But it is taking your sadness and giving it to God. And it's not just saying, oh, I'm sad. Or it's not just trying to push away sadness, but literally, and here's what David teaches, one third of the Psalms. What he teaches is, God, I'm sad. I don't understand. This is hard. I give it to you. And so I just encourage us. You're going to run across in these days ahead, some of those among us, there's fresh loss in our midst, is that it's okay to be grateful and grieve at the same time. Just hand. And here, this is amazing, and God has infinite wisdom. But here's what the Bible says, that God hears a broken heart. It has a sound to him. Sometimes you don't even know what to put to words, but God goes, oh, I hear your heart. And here's the other one. The Bible says that God has caught every one of your tears. And I know there's some poeticness to it, but it goes, I've caught all of your tears, and I have them as a memorial. And I go, what are you talking about, God? And he goes, every time your heart has been broken and you cried before me, he goes, I kept that. That's a memorial of your devotion to my heart, that you were grateful even when you were grieving. So in these days, we want to be conscious of it and go, yeah, I'm happy. I'm happy, sad at the same time. And that's okay. It's not schizophrenic. It's Christian. It's in the Bible. To be able to say, this hurts, but I hand the hurt to God. Anybody not as strong as you used to be? You just got some loss, right? But you can say, God, I thank you that I used to be strong. One of these days you're going to take me to heaven. I'll be strong again. And I don't know what the loss is. There's different kinds of loss. And But to be able to say in the hope that's in Christ, to be able to say, this is difficult, I will navigate this difficulty by handing it to God. So grateful, grieving. Just turn to your neighbor and tell him he's right. Just let him know I'm right on that, just so I can get you guys talking. Yeah, you guys look, I don't know if you're tired or you're sad, but it looks really bad from where I'm standing right now. No, I'm kidding. A friend of mine one time, there's like about 400 people in the room, and he's up here and he's teaching. And he goes, did you guys know that 30% of the people in the world are ugly? And he goes, there's 400 people in the room. He goes, Dennis, look to your right, look to your left, and do the math. Okay. Sarah, why are you laughing? I want to talk about something that's of high importance. I'm going to use it for a foundation for a couple weeks ahead. And I want you to know, and my goal is use words to touch your heart. I want you to know that you have a supernatural advantage in life that can never be overcome. Okay, I want you to think about that. You have a supernatural advantage in life that cannot be defeated. That advantage is the Holy Spirit, okay? The Holy Spirit lives in you. Now, one of the major ministries of the Holy Spirit to your life is He leads you. And the Bible says, as many, the blessing in Romans 8, one of the blessings of being a child of God is, as many as are the children of God, they are led by the Holy Spirit. So Jesus said, my sheep, anybody remember that one? Hear my voice, and another they will not. Anybody remember that? Yeah, they will not follow. It doesn't say you won't hear. You won't hear another voice. It says you won't follow another voice. But if you are born again, that means you have the ability to hear the Holy Spirit. And this is your supernatural advantage in life, is the Holy Spirit's going to lead you. Okay? And so today I want to talk about five expressions. And what I'm going to call the leading of the Holy Spirit, and I'm going to explain why I'm going to call it this, is it's biblical terminology that has a biblical understanding. There's something in the Bible called wisdom. And here's what wisdom means: the ability to apply knowledge. I saw a real funny one time. It said, it is knowledge that says a tomato is a fruit. It is wisdom that doesn't put it in a fruit salad, right? So knowledge is one thing. Wisdom is another. Knowledge is I have information. Wisdom is this is the way you apply the information. Okay. Anybody ever heard of there would be something called an apprentice. Somebody goes to work and somebody else will follow that person that goes to work. Anybody in here ever had an apprentice? You've had an apprentice, haven't you, Larry? And here's Larry's job for the apprentice. The apprentice will go to some manner of school and he'll get knowledge. And there'll be five ways to do something. And then he runs into Larry, and Larry teaches him the first four won't work. Because they taught you that in school, and this is real work right here, and school and real work don't match, right? And so one is knowledge, the other is wisdom, and wisdom is the application of knowledge. It's knowing when and how to apply. So in the Bible, whenever you see the word wisdom, it means pages and pages of information. But basically it means the ability to apply knowledge to get the ultimate effect. And so if I live by wisdom, I will live a life that some people call happy. Happy is a good word, but the Bible word is fulfilled. I will fulfill purposes of God, and that which makes me feel the most fulfilled if I walk by something called wisdom. So just pray for the person beside you, in front of you, behind you. God, give them wisdom. I had a friend one time, the Bible says, King James is hoary, H-O-A-R-Y, is an old English word for white. A white head brings wisdom. It's in Proverbs. And I was white head when I was 30. And I had a friend one time, he goes, "You're false advertising." Here's what I want you to know. Just because somebody's old don't mean they're wise. Anybody know anybody that's old but not wise? Don't look at your mom. Okay. Here's an advantage. There is something called human wisdom. Human wisdom, the Bible says, the end thereof is destruction. It looks like this would be the right way to go, but you don't know what the end is. Wisdom from above is God will break in, give you supernatural advantage of him knowing the future, and will lead you in the right way. That's amazing. Sometimes it may seem, wisdom from above may seem like it is not smart. It doesn't line up with worldly knowledge. And you've had it happen to you before. The Lord will lead you, and he'll go, "Do it this way." And you'll go, "That doesn't seem smart." And he goes, "Yeah, you and I are talking different levels of smart, okay?" And what will happen is, if you follow the leading of the Lord, the wisdom from above, you'll find out it will be superior to natural wisdom, okay? So I'm going to call the leading of the Lord the wisdom of the Lord this morning, and I'm going to give you five expressions of the wisdom of the Lord, or the way the Lord leads you. You may be aware of some of them, you might not be aware, and some of them you will go, "Oh, you just put language to what I already have been living." Okay? Five expressions of the wisdom of the Lord. The first two are going to come from Acts 16. The next three will come from Acts 8. I'm going to tell you a couple stories. We'll look at the Bible, but you'll know Acts 16 is one of the stories. Acts 8 is the other story. You're going to see two kinds of wisdom. If you take notes, this is important to understand. There's general wisdom of God that comes from the Scripture. I mean, just live by the Bible. If you get a chance to lie or not lie, which one should you do? Should you lie or not lie? Why? Because the Bible says so. That's about, you guys are getting the A answers. They're down on the bottom shelf, okay? Just don't lie. If you get a chance to be lazy or work, which one should you do? Easy. Why? Bible says so, right? So there is wisdom that comes from the Bible. That's just general wisdom. Do I need lead to sweep the floor at my house? I let my wife do that. I don't need lead at all. Huh? I took that to church one time, and people go, "I just don't feel led to help in the nursery." That's fine, but you do not need, God's not led you, that you do not need lead of the Holy Spirit to sweep your floor, nor do you need lead of the Holy Spirit to just minister in church. You know why? Because you have the Bible that told you you don't need lead. So what do I have? I have the general wisdom of Scripture. How many people think it might be smart to read the Bible? You're going to get to heaven and you go, "God, I had a hard time." He goes, "Yeah, I sent you a letter." Yeah, I was looking for an email. He goes, "Yeah, you could get it like that too." The answer was in the Bible. So there's general wisdom, but we're going to look at something. And then there's specific wisdom. The Holy Spirit will lead generally through the Scripture, but then there are sometimes he will lead specifically. When he leads specifically, it won't contradict Scripture, but it will be outside of Scripture. Does that make sense? Am I clear? And so here's, Jesus told him, go preach the gospel everywhere. Well, in Acts chapter 16, Paul is going forth preaching the gospel everywhere. And let's read it. They had gone to Phrygia, the region of Galatia. they were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia. Did not generals say, go preach the gospel? And here's where Paul was. Paul was in Turkey, and he can make a right and go east to Asia. He can make a left and go west to Europe. Does that make sense? And he goes, let's go preach the gospel. And he starts right. And the Holy Spirit goes, no. How did the Holy Spirit go no? How did he do it? That's not in the Bible. Don't go to Asia. That's not in the Bible. How did he know not to go to Asia? Because, come on, in his spirit, he had a, what I call a block in his spirit. The Holy Spirit puts a negative feeling in his heart that says, don't do that. Now let me show you, watch this. How many people have had that happen in your life? So go ahead, raise your hand. Let everybody else see they're not a weirdo. Everybody's had that happen. That is the way it works. Now, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand. Has anybody ever stepped over the no in the spirit and went ahead and did it anyway? How'd that turn out for you? Huh? Now, please hear me. There is, and I'm going to give you, here's the first wisdom. God leads by no with the same power that he leads by yes. It's the wisdom of no. So five expressions of wisdom is the wisdom of no. God will just say, don't do it. If it's sin, the reason God's saying don't do it, it has hurt and death on the other end of it. Sometimes the no of God is permanent. Don't do that. And you'll go, God, you don't know what you're talking about. I've thought this through. This is the right thing to do. And God will go, don't do that. You'll get down the road about 6 minutes, 6 months, or 6 years. And you'll go, dang, God's smart. It is really wise that I didn't do that at that time, right? So sometimes the no of God is don't do it. Other times the no of God is simply a delay. This was a delay. Thomas came just a few years later, and he goes right, and he goes to India with the gospel. But what God's saying is, and I'm glad Paul went left, because we're all here today because the gospel went to Europe, okay? So there's a wisdom. Sometimes God will just tell you no. Where does that no come? It comes in my spirit. Here's what I say, the thoughts of God. They're like a feather. They're just floating by. But when I concentrate or think about it, it's like an anvil, and it just drops in my heart. And I go, oh, yeah, I'm starting to do this, starting to move toward a person or a place or a certain situation, and the Lord will go, don't do that. Why does he do it? Here's why he does it. He goes, I have a later or I have a better. The only reason God ever says no is he has a later or he has a better. And he goes, you'll be busy in the no and not get the yes that would fulfill your life because you're busy in the thing I told you not to do. He goes, in my timing, you might know who I am, but do you know? You might know my ways, but do you know my timing? In my timing, there is a better timing. Let me put a block with a no here because I have a better or I have a later down the road. Does that make some manner of sense? So, and watch this. Every time I say yes, I'm saying no to 100 other things. The way that I spend this hour this morning, you could have said, I'm saying yes to this. You said no to all kinds of other things. The converse is also true. The adverse is also true. If I say no to something, now I open my heart for a yes in another place or another time. Is that helpful? So in the wisdom of the Holy Spirit, there are times that the Holy Spirit will use the wisdom of no to guide us. Okay? So here's Paul. He's gone through this region, tried to go to Bithynia, and the Spirit says no again. A vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man from Macedonia stood, pleaded with him, saying, come over to Macedonia. So he's standing here. Asia's here. Eastern Europe's here. Macedonia is right here, and it's across the river. And he sees a guy in a dream saying, come over here. What would you do? I've had no. No, now what would you do? That would make sense, right? Let's watch it, because it's going to unwrap another wisdom the Holy Spirit will use. Watch this. After that, they came to Mysia. They tried to go to Bithynia. Spirit did not permit them. They came to Mysia. They came down to Troas. A vision appeared to Paul in the night. Man of Macedonia stood, pleaded with him, come to Macedonia and help us. And the next, did I give you seven? There we go. Is that all I gave you? Did I not give you 10? That's all right. Here's what it says in 10. And Luke, a companion of Paul, it goes, and we discerned that we should go to Macedonia. Come on. How many people, if they were in the committee meeting, and they go, what do you think we should do? And Paul goes, I had a dream. And then it goes, the team, there's six, seven of them, there's a team, and the team goes, let's go that way. Okay, here's another point. Watch this. It does not say that Paul said, let's go this way. It says, we discerned. And so here's the second wisdom that the Lord will use in your life to guide you. I call it the wisdom of others / the wisdom of the elders. Because when I say the wisdom of others, and let me give you some practical advice. You have a decision to make. Don't tell everybody about your decision. Why would you tell somebody who doesn't even have the wisdom of God on a decision you need to make? That because what will happen is they'll give you an answer and the answer will confuse you. I don't tell everybody, but I do tell somebody. I do not take advice from everybody. Anybody ever read the internet? Put something on Facebook, you will have advice, yay, ad nauseum. Right? Which one you going to do? Now you go, now I'm more confused than I was. I thought I was choosing between. Had a friend came from Africa. He said, let's go to a restaurant. We went to a restaurant. And he goes, in Africa, when you go to a restaurant, they give you food. In America, when you go to a restaurant, they give you a book. They go, what do you want? He goes, I want food. They go, what kind of food? They hand him a book. He goes, I don't know. You give me too many choices. He goes, I would like meat food. And they turn to the meat. He goes, then I turn to the meat section. Chicken, pork, whatever. He goes, I go to Africa. I said, give me food. They bring me food. I go to America. They give me a book. Now I got to look through the chapters in the book. Okay, I'm at the meat book. Okay, I push to a point to a cow. I want beef. They go, how you want it cooked? What kind do you want? All of a sudden, he goes, I'm confused. I was hungry. Now I'm confused. Too confused to make a decision. Do not ask unwise people about important decisions you need to make in your life. Right? Look what Paul does. He asks the wisdom of those around him. So the Holy Spirit will use the wisdom of no. Two is the wisdom of others / let me put elders on there. Okay? Number three, I'm going to take you to another place in the Bible. It's Acts chapter 8. You guys are listening really quick today. I'm going to talk for 3 minutes. Highly important. Highly important. I want you to get one principle at the end of the 3 minutes. I'm going to talk for an hour and a half today, but those 3 minutes, no, I'm just going to talk for an hour. I'm not going to extend it. These 3 minutes are extremely important. And I'm going to give you a principle at the end of them. Okay? Bad circumstances will take you to right places. Sometimes what we think is the most difficult thing becomes orchestrated to give you the most fulfillment you could ever have. There is a challenge in the Christian life of trusting God when you don't understand. It is one of the key 4 or 5 top things that will make your life fulfilled throughout all of your life and take you to heaven when you die. Okay? Bad circumstances can bring extremely good results. It is important in the midst of difficult circumstances that you keep your internal peace. You stay peaceful when chaos is around you. Okay, I'm going to show you an example in the Bible. Because the Lord leads by peace. Number three is the wisdom of peace. And here's the simplest way that I can teach people to hear God. Is do you feel peace in your heart about the decision you're making? I'm making a decision. This way, I have no feeling. That way, I have no feeling. This is the Apostle Paul. And he goes, so I started to walk down that way. All of a sudden, I had a heavy. That's not good. He goes, I came back, and I tried again, and I go, oh, that's heavy. That's not good. And if you watch it, I love that Acts 17, because God's going cold, warmer, warm. You ever play that kid game when you're a kid? It goes, the Holy Spirit forbid. Then it goes, the Holy Spirit did not allow. Then it goes, the Holy Spirit led with a dream. Does that make sense? So don't give up in the no. You'll hear the no and you go, oh, I'm discouraged. I just quit. No, don't do that. Keep your peace. Understand, oh, there's a resistance on that from God. I'm not going to violate the resistance that God's giving me. Does that make sense? And then I'm going to say yes to the peace that comes from God. Now, let me give you an illustration in the scripture. Then I'll give you two more. They're just expressions of the wisdom of the Holy Spirit that will lead you in everyday life in major decisions that will get you to the most fulfilled life you can have. It's amazing. Okay? The first one that I talked about is the wisdom of no. Okay? Second one is, and if I ask you, and we probe this a little bit, you go, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Have you ever not known what to do? You had in your mind 50-50 or 40-60. You went and talked to somebody, and as you're talking to another believer, you're just talking to them, all of a sudden, it is the cartoon light bulb goes off over your head. Bang! And now you know what to do just because you were conversing with them about what to do. It might have been about the subject, might not have been about the subject. And here's what the Holy Spirit was doing. He was using the wisdom of others to give you the insight that you needed. I've had it happen, and I've had people tell me later that I was doing, and they go, you didn't even know what you were talking about? You had no idea what was going on in my life? When you said this, it said it completely straight, and I knew exactly what to do, what you said in a passing conversation. I go, yeah, I'm just smart like that, man. I'm just telling you. When that happens, you know you're not just smart like that. What do you know? What do you know when that happens? Is that the Holy Spirit is using the wisdom of others to lead in a right way. Okay? So he'll use the wisdom of no. He'll use the wisdom of others. And then number three, he will use the wisdom of peace. Your battle in difficult times is to stay peaceful in your spirit. Anybody in the room got a quick temper? Anybody? Nobody? Mark, your wife was looking at you. No, she really wasn't. You have a quick temper. Here's what will happen. You're walking along, and everything's good. You're trying to make a decision. Somebody will be stupid, because there are stupid people in the world. When they're stupid, at least from your perspective, somebody does something, or a situation comes, whatever, and you get angry. Boom. Yeah. Nobody else deals with that kind of a thing ever. Nobody's ever done that. Three people. Sarah, you and I, and Mark, we're the only honest people in this whole church. So I'm going to preach right here where the amens are. Okay? When that happens, what happens in your spirit? Sarah ticks me off. Tomorrow I come to work, church, and she's here earlier than me, and that just made me mad. She's not even getting paid. And so I'm mad at Sarah. And sometimes I'll walk away and smile, even though I'm mad at Sarah. But, buddy, when I get back in my office, what am I doing? She said, if she would have said, I would have said, and then she would have said, then I would have said, and what's happening in your spirit? I have a question for you. What does it take for you to get knocked out of the realm of peace in your heart? Whatever it takes, that, I'm going to let you in on an insight. The devil already knows what that is. He will use that to knock you out of peace because chaos is his home court advantage. He cannot extend, he cannot stand peace. He can't inhabit it. So when a Christian in the midst of chaos goes to peace, in that place, the Lord can lead. In anxiety, the enemy can deceive. And so you got a guy here, name of Philip, down in Jerusalem, having church, things are good, and the Romans, led by the Jews, come in and kill his best friend. One of his close friends, Stephen. One of his close friends, they wake up possibly to a prayer meeting in the morning, and by the time the sun goes down at night, Stephen is in a ditch, and people have taken stones and stoned him to death. And Paul goes, and tomorrow we're getting the rest of you. In the middle of the night, Philip leaves. Now watch. He is not leaving because the Holy Spirit is leading him. He is leaving to save his own life in what looks like a circumstance in a difficult time, puts him in Samaria, and he has one of the greatest revivals in the New Testament. A bad circumstance led him to a good place. But now watch. The evil and chaos around him did not get inside of him. When he showed up in Samaria, he showed up with a smile on his face, joy in his heart, preaches the gospel, and by Acts 8:8 it says, and joy filled the whole city where he was, because he was in a circumstance where sin was against him. But he never got sin in him. He didn't allow the offense toward him to become an offense in him. Does that make sense? And he keeps his peace. He goes to Samaria. When he goes to Samaria, he preaches the gospel. People are getting saved, healed, delivered, baptized. It's amazing. Somebody say amazing. Absolutely amazing. I wish it happened in Hope. Somebody come, stand on the town square, just start preaching. People getting saved. The whole city, the whole region was filled with joy because that man was not affected by the evil that was projected against him. Does that make sense? And so the Holy Spirit will lead with wisdom. We stay in peace even though circumstances take us to a bad place. Anybody remember Joseph in the Bible? Circumstances took him to a bad place, but he kept the peace of God in his heart in the midst of the bad circumstance. That make some inner sense? Okay, and so he's there preaching. Things are going amazing. They're having all kinds of people say, if you read the book of Acts, chapter 8, there are two waves of the whole, and they're at a Mexican restaurant after church. He had a really good church meeting. All kinds of people came to Christ that day. They're at the Mexican restaurant after church. Philip's sitting there, main leader in the revival, and all of a sudden an angel shows up to him. And the angel says, go down to Gaza. And I can see what that would feel like. What would that feel like? He's going, why would I want to go to Gaza? Revival's going on here. Go down to Gaza. Huh? Number four, wisdom number four. Is one is no, two, the wisdom of elders, three, the wisdom of peace. It's the way the Lord will lead. Number four is the wisdom of the supernatural. Sometimes God will lead in strange ways and tell you to do strange stuff. For Philip, it's an angel. For Paul, it was a dream. For Cornelius, it's a vision. In the book of Acts, it's the Holy Spirit. Sometimes for us, it may be a spontaneous just thought that comes here. I need to go here. And I can give you all kinds of illustrations. I don't want to take time to illustrate it all today. One of them was amazing to me. that I would like to say is I took a path that was not my normal path one time. I'm driving from one place to another. I got my son in my car. All of a sudden, I'm headed to an exit, and the Lord says, pull off at that exit there. I go, that's weird. But I just felt, and I did. And then I feel led of the Lord to go to McDonald's. That's never happened in my life. I don't like McDonald's. I go, this is strange. I know that's not just me. I've never desired a McDonald's in my life. Just me. And so I feel some, anybody ever had that thing? It's just like this light little thing that's kind of in your spirit. And the more you think about not doing it, the badder it feels. And the more you think about doing it, the better it feels. And I go, okay, I pulled into McDonald's. And my son loves McDonald's. Oh, McDonald's, we get McDonald's. Yay, God, thank you. I think the Lord was hearing my son's prayer and overriding my will. And we get there, and there's an outside seating place, and there's some people at the outside seating, and I'm headed to go order, and the people in the outside seating, I hear the Lord say, it's a pregnant man, his wife, and I hear the Lord say, buy their lunch. Story, and the end of the story is, what happened is, that guy, the reason at the McDonald's is that dollar menu. And that guy has a pregnant wife, and he is counting quarters to be able to buy her a cheeseburger and a french fry. And we drop by, oh, all of a sudden, it's whole family. Not because of the individual that brought it, but because of the God who knew that can say, turn over here, get to there, because at the there is something that's very important. Does that make sense? So here's Philip. Philip, in the midst of a revival, he was pushed to that place by adverse circumstances. Very bad things bring him there, but he goes, oh, in God, I've developed joy in this place. Amazing. And then out of nowhere, God says, leave there and just go to North Vernon. And Philip goes, there's nothing good could happen in North Vernon. What are you talking about, North Vernon? I do not want to go to North Vernon. Revival's here. Now, he doesn't do that kind of resistance, and I think it's amazing. Then he just takes off. It's a long walk. He walks to North Vernon. He's sitting at the section down there, patting his foot. It just says he went out to Gaza. He just went out to Gaza, just there, standing by the road, patting his foot. All of a sudden, a guy starts coming by in a chariot reading the Bible out loud. In North Vernon, that would be more of a miracle than in Gaza, huh? No. Now, for real. And Philip goes, hey, you understand what you're reading? And the guy goes, how can I understand? This is crazy sounding stuff. I need somebody to interpret it for me. And the Bible says Philip ran toward the chariot. Does anybody remember what that guy was? Do you remember what he was? He was the financial director of Ethiopia. Do you think he might have had a guard or two? Do you think Philip running toward the financial director of Ethiopia could possibly be an aggressive maneuver? Do you think the guards might have taken their little swords and spears and tried to thwart him from getting to the man? Huh? Watch. He goes into nowhere just because Holy Spirit said go. When he gets there, supernatural divine appointment, there's a guy reading the Bible. Philip runs toward him. Let me tell you what that means. Climbs up in the chariot with him and starts preaching Christ to him from the Bible. Number five, the wisdom of Scripture. The wisdom of know. Here's how the Holy Spirit will lead. The wisdom of know. The wisdom of the elders or others. The wisdom of peace. The wisdom of supernatural leading. Number five, the wisdom of Scripture. Then the guy goes, Philip's preaching to him, and he goes, what hinders me from being baptized? I see some water there. Philip goes, well, do you believe Jesus? He goes, I believe Jesus. He said, well, let's have a baptism right here. Next week, I'm going to take off on that, but let me give you a little foretaste of coming attraction. Here's what we have mostly been taught. Baptism is a public declaration of a private encounter. Anybody ever heard that? Baptism is us saying publicly what Christ has done internally. Next week we'll talk about it. There was no public. He could not have been making a public declaration because there was no public there. It's just him and Philip. And here's what we'll unlock. Baptism is a private encounter as much as it is a public announcement. It is something different is going to happen in that man when he goes in the water and comes out than it was, than he's going to be a different individual than before he went into the water, even though he's already saved. He said, I believe Jesus already. So next week we'll unwrap that a little bit more and kind of hit it. This week I just want to pray, and I'm setting up so I can pray. And if you want to pray for the people around you, that's good, because I just know from the Lord there are people in the room that are on, and those that will listen, are on the verge of major decisions. Major decisions that have lifelong implications for us and for other people. In that, we don't want to just gather information and make decisions. We want to be led by the Holy Spirit. How does he lead? Sometimes he's going to tell you no. When he tells you no, it doesn't always mean forever. It can be. This is a delay until a better time. I have a better later. Let me give you a pause right now. And other times it will be, you think this is right, this is not right. Let me, on your behalf, lead you into the future that I have designed for you. Sometimes it's just the wisdom of God saying no. Don't violate it. Other times, just somebody is going to speak something that's going to set your direction straight. I'm encouraging us, stay in peace so the Holy Spirit can live in that environment of peace. Be open to his supernatural leading, and always judge it by the word. Is that okay? Just read the Bible. God will speak to you more frequently the more frequently you read the Bible. Sometimes it'll be a verse. Sometimes it'll be a vision. It might be a little supernatural thing, or it might just be a scriptural thing. Does that make some manner of sense? So I just want to pray for us, and I'm going to pray, Holy Spirit, we need your guidance. We need it in the big ones and the little ones. Holy Spirit, I'm praying just in the wisdom of this teaching, in the wisdom of the word, that by wisdom, the spirit of wisdom and revelation would unlock the knowledge of our callings and our future to us by the decisions we make right now. Father, I pray for those that are on the verge of crossing no's, that you would give encouragement and you would give strength to follow you. I pray that you would release mercy and you would release grace to accomplish and fulfill your purposes and your will. Lord, I pray for divine appointments. There are people in this room have decisions to make, that you would just lead them to the right person that would speak the right thing, that would unlock everything to the future that is needed. Lord, people are making decisions right now about employment, about family, about things that will go on in the days ahead. And I'm just asking that you would give supernatural peace. I declare the environment of peace. I declare the kingdom of peace. Lord, you said that we would be led forth in peace and go out in joy. I pray the power of that peace be the power in this room right now that creates the atmosphere that you can speak with clarity. Lord, I ask that you would speak by dreams and visions and insights, that you would give supernatural voice would come from behind saying, this is the way, walk in it. That would bring clarity. What was foggy will become clear because your spirit will make it clear. May we stay in the wisdom of the word in these days and the days ahead. As people go to hear you through your word, may you bring clarity that will give direction. There's some decisions just seem simple, but have long-term implications. And so I pray this morning that our supernatural advantage, the Holy Spirit, who will lead us in all truth, show us things to come, bring to fullness that which you've designed for us. I pray that as we walk in wisdom, that you would bring fulfillment in life for those in this room. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Well, you can stand. Our worship team will come. We're going to worship if you have